Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. We thank you for this day that has been set aside to remember the saints. We thank you for them. We celebrate them. And we ask that your peace and your presence would be known in this place at this hour. Amen. In John, the fifth chapter, the fifth verse, we read these words. Very truly I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. This morning, my sermon has to do with the raising of Lazarus. We find it in John, the 11th chapter. And instead of reading it, I'm just going to try to tell you the story. Jesus was not in town. He wasn't in Galilee. He was across the river. Lazarus, who lived with his sisters, Mary and Martha, they lived in Bethany, not far from Jerusalem. Jesus wasn't there. Somehow, and I don't know how, but Martha found out that Jesus was across the river and got word to him that Lazarus was sick. Now, any way you slice what I'm about to say, I think she was trying to pour a double dose of guilt on Jesus. She identifies Lazarus as the one you love is sick. Her guilt didn't help. Jesus didn't go immediately. Jesus tells his disciples, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So this whole story has to do with the glorification of God and the glorification of his Son, who is Jesus. The ultimate glorification of Christ takes place on the cross, when he is high and lifted up. He then tells the disciples, Lazarus has died, but I'm going to wake him up. Which they think he means he's just a little sick. And they said, well, if he's going to wake up, he's getting better. He said, no, he's died. So he tells them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And Thomas says something kind of strange. Thomas says, let's also go that we may die with him. If Lazarus' death will glorify Jesus, then more deaths would glorify him even more, especially if Jesus is going to wake him up. When they arrive near Bethany, somehow or another, Martha, in her sixth sense, knows that he is not quite there, and she goes to Jesus, and she says what many of us might say, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But anyway, he's dead. But if you ask your father, the father would do what you ask him. And Jesus said to her, Martha, your brother will rise again. And she says, I know at the end of the age, at the resurrection of the last days. And he says, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and I am life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha responds, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come to the end of the world. And she leaves and tells Mary that Jesus is near. Mary goes, but Mary takes her posse with her, other Jews that are there to console the family. And they go and find Jesus exactly where Martha had met him, seen him. And Mary says to him exactly the same things. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't be dead. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who were with them weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit. And he asked them, "Where have you laid him?" And they start moving that way, and it says Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, "How did Jesus love him?" But then some others said, "Could not this guy who opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying?" Which also hurt Jesus. And so he gets to the place where Lazarus has been buried. And he says, move the stone. And Martha says, "He's been dead 4 days. 3 days you were dead. 4 days you're really dead. No, Jesus, it's going to stink." And he says, "Move it anyway." And he prays and thanks God, his Father. And then he says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus comes out and he says, "Take off the linen strips, his grave clothes." Some of you might know, I've told this a number of times, I have the privilege of being the chaplain for the Bellmead Hunt. Bellmead Hunt is a fox hunting group of people. It's a club, an organization. Now, it's strange for me to be the chaplain since I have not been on a horse since 1969. I remember the day. I remember all about it. I remember it. I have not got on a horse since, and I do not ever plan on getting on another horse. But these people are my people. I grew up with these people. I grew up with the people who started it were friends of my parents or friends of my best friends. They were, and when Father Frank was getting old, they asked me to assist Father Frank. He'd only been doing that job for 46 years. First Saturday of every November. So in 2011, they called me and asked me if I would do it. My main responsibility is to officiate at the blessing of the hounds. But you bless the hounds, the horses, the fox. And according to my understanding, the only one that really is blessed is the fox, because they hadn't killed one in years. But I go, and it's a beautiful thing. Strange thing happened. Tragedy struck this year. And they reached out and said, "We need to recognize and remember four of our members." And so we talked, we chatted, we emailed back and forth, and it was decided on Friday evening we would remember these people. One was an 18-year-old boy who was having some issues, got in some trouble, got in his car, and was trying to avoid the police and had a wreck and died. One was a mid-30s gentleman who bought property, family moved to town, worked in Athens. On his way home one day from work, he has a wreck and dies. One was a 50-year-old man who had struggled with addictions, and he committed suicide. And the last was a landscape architect from here in Atlanta who had connections over there. He died a couple of months ago in a helicopter crash in mid-Georgia. and they were trying to figure out how to remember. And so we did basically what we are going to do today. We prayed and thanked God for those people. The difference they had made in all of our lives, the impact they had made, who they were. Thank God for them. We called their names and tolled the bell. And after a moment of silence, the master of the hounds pulled out his fox hunting horn. It's about a little over, probably 15 inches long. And like buglers who have different bugle calls, those fox hunters have different calls for their horn. And he played one call, going to ground, which sounds mournful. And he played it, the master played it, and we wept. We wept. That's what you do when you hurt. That's what you do when you mourn. About 20 minutes after it was over, I was speaking and talking with the grandmother of the 18-year-old. And we were just talking. She said, life is not easy all the time. And she said this, forgive me if you're offended by it, but she said, sometimes life sucks. January, my father died. My grandson dies a couple of months later. And then she said, two dogs that I delivered, one 17 years ago, died this year. Another dog that I delivered after 13 years died. And then she said, mourning is hard when people don't mourn alike. In a family, when there has been death and there is loss, people grieve differently. And sometimes it's hard to understand why people do the things they do, and it's hard to understand because people have a hard time communicating, especially during that time. And then she said, I don't know how I would make it without faith. And so we wept together. We hugged and held each other and wept. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am life. He who believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. That is the hope for us. That Jesus Christ is the resurrection. And if we believe in that, we too can know the hope of Christ. In seminary, my first year, I had this professor, all I knew him, well, his name was Doug White. He was, didn't have a doctorate, didn't have a PhD in theology. He was a counselor. He had not been at the seminary long. He had moved from Chattanooga. His wife was a concert violinist in the work for the symphony. He always said that he outmarried his gifts and graces. He got lucky, won the lottery when it came to his wife. He worshiped her, fully worshiped her. Whatever she wanted, he did whatever she asked. If she thought it, he did it for her. And one day, she was diagnosed in August with cancer, and she was dead in 6 weeks. And he was, of course, devastated. And so he began every day praying the Lord's Prayer over and over again, about God's kingdom and God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. He kept reciting the Apostles' Creed. He wanted to re-emphasize in his life that I believe in the communion of saints. I believe in the resurrection of the body. I believe. And in his belief for the communion of the saints, what he began to realize is that those who have gone on to glory, what they do all the time is worship God. And it hit him. And it transformed his worship from mourning and grieving every time he would go into the sanctuary of his church. It transformed it to a place of hope and joy, because he understood that when he came together with the body of Christ and his community of faith, that when he began to worship, they were joining with the saints already worshiping God. That when he was worshiping God, he was worshiping with his wife. And it brought joy to his worship. It wasn't just his wife that he was worshiping with. It was all the other saints who have ever lived and died. And it brought him joy. The resurrection. I am the resurrection and I am life. Who believes in me, even though you die, you shall live. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus says, and I hold the keys to hell and death. Because I live, you can live also. And brothers and sisters, that is good news. It's news that we can cling to as we weep together. As we celebrate lives together, and as we glorify God in all that we do, may our lives be done to the glory of God. And in the process, may we know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.